Running an online business is hard enough without the stress and time consumption of managing hosting. Whether managing one WordPress site or dozens, Kinsta's managed solutions offer speed, enterprise-grade security, and an intuitive dashboard. With 24/7, 365 human-only expert support, get peace of mind that your sites stay online, secure, and performing their best. Start today and get your first month free with migrations handled for you. Learn more at kinsta.com/podcast. That's kinsta.com/podcast.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Tuesday, the 24th of September, 2024. Tuesday. It's nothing this day, isn't it, Tuesday? It's like the unsexy version of a Thursday. You know, Thursday is getting towards the weekend. It's after midweek. And it's getting towards that weekend fun, frolics. Whereas Tuesday is just, what, in between the start of the week and the middle of the week. It's grey, isn't it? Boring. In fact, quite appropriate because Keir Starmer is doing his speech today at the Labour Party conference. I was going to wait until that had finished, until I did this. Then I realised it was 2 p.m, so I'm not going to wait for that. Apparently he's going to sound a bit more upbeat about the economy after that gloomy speech in the Rosie Garden. How didn't he realise that would affect business? Saying what he said, that's really worrying. His lack of judgment over that and lack of advice from people around him. They're the party of business, they said. We're open for business. That's what Richard Reeves said yesterday. And yet they almost slammed the door on business investment during that speech. Anyway, I wonder if he's going to talk about immigration and repeat his famous phrase, going to smash the gangs, smash the gangs. What does that mean? Smash the gangs. How do you actually smash the gangs? It's just ridiculous, the concept of smashing the gangs. What is Keir doing? Run into gangs with his elbows smash them, forearms smash them. You can't smash the gangs. Doesn't make any sense. Literally impossible to do. Smashing gangs. It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, with gangs, you just get rid of one gang and another replaces it. It's like a vacuum, isn't it? You know? I don't know why they obsess Labour with these stupid simplified phrases that they hope will catch on. I heard Rachel Reeves yesterday saying, we will put more money in your pocket. I thought, what? I don't keep money in my pocket. We're now a cashless society, pretty much, aren't we? If Labour do attain that growth that they all talk about, you know, and we'll get a better standard of living. If I get some extra money, it's not going in my pocket. Is it going in your pocket? Do you put cash anymore in your pocket? I've got no cash on me. I don't have any. I've got an iPhone. That's all I need. So if they do achieve that growth and we all get a better standard of living and we all earn more money, it's not going in my pocket. It's going in my bank account. Stop saying, but more. It's like some of those are backhanded things. Let's put some cash in your pocket. You know, what was something my grandmother do? I'll put that in your pocket. My grandmother, at a certain time, she started to suffer from dementia. My mother did. And they would give my kids sort of pocket money, and it was a total irrelevant amount of money, you know. They'd say, give my son, like a few years back, 10 pence. Have that. No concept of money. It's like that. Put a bit of money in your pocket. Put more money into your pocket. Anyway, let's crack on. But they're trying to do it to endear them to the public, aren't they? But these simplified, irrelevant phrases don't do that at all. By the way, before I... So if you're listening and thinking, what the heck is this podcast? It's I look at the economic data relevant to the UK and news releases from revenue-generating UK micro-cap stocks. That is, companies with a market cap below 100 million. By all means, visit sharepickers.com/tips. And just by signing up to that list, you get an added benefit, which I'll talk about at the end of the podcast. Okay, macro news, story number one. Bank of England's Bailey says interest rates are gradually heading downwards. Some Reuters. Well, we sort of knew that, didn't we, I suppose. They're taking their time about it. The Bank of England should be able to lower interest rates gradually as it gains confidence that inflation will remain close to its 2% target, Governor Andrew Bailey said in an interview published on Tuesday. Bailey said he was very encouraged by the downward path of inflation since it peaked at 11.1% nearly 2 years ago. And he says, I do think the path for interest rates when we get... That's not a good accent, is it? He's a bit more plummy, isn't he? I do think the path for interest rates will be downwards gradually, he told the Kent Messenger newspaper. How's he doing an interview with the Kent Messenger? I bet that was a scoop for them yesterday, wasn't it, down there in the Kent Messenger? I bet they were so excited in their newsroom. An exclusive interview. Andrew Bailey, the governor of the Bank of England, because that's been picked up by all national press now. Hell of a scoop. Anyway, he said, Andrew Bailey went on to say, inflation's come down a long way, and we still have to get it sustainably at a target. We have quite an unbalanced mix of components of inflation at the moment. What does that mean? Asked where interest rates would settle, Bailey said he did not expect them to return to the historic close to zero last seen, but it's never going to go back then. We had the longest period of time for the lowest interest rates ever. That's why a lot of trash, almost zombie companies, rallied like crazy on the stock market. If you're still playing those companies, it's not going to happen again. You've got to invest in decent businesses that can generate their own cash. Because interest rates will come down, but very slowly, as you can see from Andrew Bailey. And the cost of capital will never get back to being free. And that's why all these zombie, you know, story stocks did very well. And I did quite well because of it, but, you know, changed my investment thesis now. You have to. If the environment changes, you have to change the way you invest. Anyway, he said his best guess was that it would settle at a neutral rate, which he was unable to specify. What? So he could just change it, whatever he wants. Isn't the neutral rate? I thought neutral rate was like the current rate minus inflation, isn't it? So if we're at 5% and inflation 2.2, isn't the neutral rate about 2.8? Or maybe I got that wrong, I don't know. Anyway, but you know, regarding the interest rate here, pound has reached a two-year high against the euro in a major boost for holidaymakers. Sterling has reached more than, buying $1.20 and also $1.3374. So that's good, isn't it? And also, this will help inflation. I think it's what Andrew Bailey's doing. He's holding back a bit because if the strength of the dollar comes down, of course, inflation will also come down because, of course, most commodities are denominated in dollars. And if that gets cheaper, it'll help inflation. So I think our inflation will come down faster than we think. Story number two. China unveils a raft of measures to boost the economy. This is from BBC Business. The People's Bank of China, Governor Pan Gongsheng. Pan Gongsheng. If you say that quickly, it sounds like almost I can speak Chinese. So the People's Bank of China Governor Pan Gongsheng announced plans to lower borrowing costs and allow banks to increase their lending. The move comes after a series of disappointing data as increased expectations in recent months that the world's second largest economy will miss its own 5% growth target this year. Stock markets in Asia jumped after Mr. Pan's announcement. Yeah, I did have an alert on a Chinese ETF. Is it worth getting back into it? It has rallied very strongly today. Speaking at a rare news conference alongside... See, they're not rare. They're not allowed to speak. See? Unless it's Xi speaking. You've got to be very careful. It'd be highly scripted, what he said. Anyway, speaking at a rare news conference alongside officials from two other financial regulators, Mr. Pan said the central bank would cut the amount of cash banks have to hold in reserve, known as the Reserve Requirement Ratio, RRR. The RRR will initially be cut by half a percentage point in a move expected to free up about 1 trillion yuan, which is the equivalent to $142 billion or 106 billion pounds. I just did that conversion in my head. Mr. Pan added that another cut may be made late this year. This will help commodities as well, because China, of course, pretty much uses half the world's commodities, and that's why commodity prices have been quite weak, including oil, because they're not a huge oil producer. I don't think they produce any oil, China. I don't know. I mean, they must produce a bit of oil. I've no idea. But they're largely an oil consumer. Further measures aimed to boost China's crisis-hit property market include cutting interest rates for existing mortgages and lowering minimum down payments on all types of homes to 15%. Really? 15%? That's quite high, isn't it? I suppose they're quite scared about buying property now in China because it's been ravaged, hasn't it? I did see yesterday, actually, that now Nationwide are about to release a sub-4% mortgage, five-year mortgage, but only for existing mortgage owners. And that's just beating Santander on the 4% level. So they're coming down, and that will help so much the UK economy because, you know, the stimulus the economy gets from people buying houses, phenomenal. I know that, just moved house. We haven't stopped buying stuff. Just stupid stuff you didn't think about and just keep buying. Story number three. This is interesting. It's two parts to this, okay? It's two stories, basically. But listen to this. London edges closer to New York in a battle for financial centre top spot. Now, we've all seen the headline saying, oh, the New York Stock Exchange, the London Stock Exchange is knackered. It's losing, you know, clients all the time, and New York are landing new clients, especially from London. So where's this come from? It says London, this is from City AM, did I say that? London is closing in on New York for the title of the world's top financial centre, according to research by influential think tank, as the capital pulled away from its European rivals. The ZYEN Global Financial Centres Index, which ranks 121 locations, showed London remained in second place with a rating of 750 points, up 3 points from its previous report in March and closing the transatlantic gap. New York scored 764 points to retain the top spot, although its rating fell by 1 point in the 6 months. And yet, this story I saw yesterday on City AM, London Stock Exchange boss warns AIM, alternative investment market, is under threat of collapse. London's junior AIM market is under threat of collapse from potential plans to hike taxes on its shares in next month's budget. The chief of the London Stock Exchange has warned the government. In a letter to City Minister Tulip Sadiq, LSE boss Dame Julie Hoggett said that ongoing viability of AIM would be threatened by the rumoured scheme. Rumours began to emerge last week that tax relief on AIM could be scrapped in the budget, with City sources warning that this could be Labour's Liz Truss moment. There is, I do believe, AIM needs all the help it can get. Liquidity is low. You know, it's at a three-year low, pretty much. We hit the high in AIM on the 6th of September 2021, over 3 years ago. Like I say, it is struggling at the moment. Good companies are fine. I mean, you know, they'll always do well. They can go to exchanges. But I do think there are plenty of viable businesses out there that are making their way towards, you know, becoming a proper sort of bona fide, profitable businesses that are struggling. And yet there's a lot of listed companies whose valuations would be higher if they went private. So it's a little bit worrying. I hope the Labour don't do that. I hope they keep that, you know, tax relief for AIM, because that's the way, you know, you have to invest in your economy, and that's how you do it, by in business, essentially, invest in businesses. Because these people employ people, you know, and so they pay people, and those people go spend money, they, you know, pay tax. So if investment in AIM goes down, I think it'll be bad for the economy, generally. Okay, let's look at some microcap news. These are companies sub-100 million market cap with revenue, okay? First of all, this is an alphabetical order. Now, I will be looking at revenue, profit for tax, and cash on each company. And as they're growing companies, I want those metrics to improve. So first of all, C, Carrero, CNS ticker. They are the distributed denial service, DDoS, production specialist, announces its results for 6 months ending 30th of June. I don't understand what the, I don't understand why this company is valued at 98 million market cap. Apologies, I got something stuck in my throat there. Maybe it's the valuation of this company, I think. Now, listen to this. 98 million market cap. Revenue for the 6 months, okay? $12.2 million versus $10.5 million. So it's grown. What's that? 20% nearly? So that's good. Loss before tax, $217K versus $1.2 million last year. So they're making a 217 $1,000 loss. So they think, okay, maybe they got a lot of cash. They've got a decent amount of cash. 7.85 million versus 6.17. They did raise some money, so that's why that's gone up, because obviously they're losing money. So they've got $7.85 million in cash. But yet, let's say they do like 30 million for the year, and that's, you know, giving the benefit of the doubt. So, let's say they do 25 million for the year. That's full time sales, they're making a loss, pretty much. The market, I don't understand. They say order intake, which reflects revenues to be recognised over the lifetime of each contract, up 10% to 14.2. They've got analysed recurring revenues of 17 million. I still don't understand why that's not cheap, put it that way. Okay, next. Digital Box. D-Box is ticker there. And they are the mobile-first digital media business which owns the leading websites Entertainment Daily, The Daily Mash, The Tab, The Poke, and TVGuide.co.uk. Today publishes interim results for 6 months to 30th of June. They've got a market cap of 4 million. Revenue of 1.63 million versus 1.23, so it's increased. And in fact, in this space, they've done quite well. That's quite resilient because there are lots of companies in this media advertising space that are not doing well. They're obviously earning money from advertising. Their profit before tax is 20K, and that's versus a 279K loss last year. So it's improved. Cash has gone down 1.97. versus 2.58. So they have lost on a cash basis there. Sorry, let me just go through the you know, how these are performing today, these shares. I did look at Carrera, so let me just get that up. Carrera, where are they? They are down 0.5% to 19.2 pence. Digital Box is up 8%, 8.36% to 3.64. So they've got, you know, they are a nano cap, 4 million. Next, HSS Hire Group. I didn't realise this. We're all sort of aware of the brand, and they rent out equipment for building and all that stuff. But they also, they say they've got two separate businesses, but work together with each other, serving predominantly business customers. HSS Pro Service is the leading digital marketplace business focused on buyer and seller acquisition within a wide range of building services, and HSS Operations provides tool and equipment hire and related services. So they've got a market cap of 46 million. Revenue for the year, 170 million versus 166, up a little bit. Loss before tax was 1.48 million. This is versus a 4.67 million profit last year. They did say underlying, they made a profit of 1.2 versus 5 million last year. And net debt, they've got 88.3 million versus 111 million. So it's come down, but considering they're a market cap at 46 million, net debt of 88 million is a little bit worrying. And they say that reduction was down to the sale of the power business in March, which realised net proceeds of 20.1 million. So yeah, they haven't chipped away at that through, you know, operations. They've just sold part of the business. Next, ITIM Group, ITIM. It's a SaaS business technology, software as a service, a business technology company that enables store-based retailers to optimize their businesses to improve financial performance. Pleased to announce interim results until 30th of June. They've got a market cap of 12 million. Oh, sorry, where's HSS? I keep forgetting this. They are down 7.74% to 6.44 pence. ITIM, sorry, back to that. SaaS business, market cap 12 million, revenue of 8.8 million versus 7.4, up 19%. And they say driven by both new contract wins and higher levels of service revenue. A loss before tax of 73K versus 1 million. So the revenue's gone up. Loss before tax improved. They're still loss making. But they do have net cash of 3 million versus 2.7. I thought, where's that cash coming from? But they are quite a cash generative business. I did look at the cash flow statement, and that is through that, basically. So they've done quite well there. I mean, they're improving. They're not profitable, but they are up 14% today. They were up more than that, actually, about 25%. They've come back a bit. They're 14% to 40.2. So maybe worth a watch, that one, because like I said, they are heading towards profitability, it seems. And they've got cash to get there. Okay, next. Manx Financial Group. I struggle with the financial statements of little banks, stuff like this. And listen to this. This is Jim Mellon's outfit. Manx Financial Group, MFX, the financial services group, which includes Conestar Bank Limited, Conestar Finance and Leasing Limited, MFX Limited, Payment Assist Limited, Blue Star Business Solutions Limited, Edgewater Associates Limited, Nick Cassie Rentals and Finance Limited, the Business Lending Exchange Limited. What? Presents their interim results 6 months ended 30th of June. So net interest income of 17.32. In fact, let's just go back there a second. I want to put Manx in there because I haven't added them. MFX to find out what the market cap is. And I just think, something's not right. I don't understand. I don't understand the valuation of this, considering what they're earning and what the assets they have. Just doesn't strike me as doesn't square up properly, you know? So they are a 19 million market cap, okay? Net interest income was 17.32 million versus 16.38. Profit before tax was 3.5 million versus 3 million. So this is 6 months. So if they replicate that, you know, 3.5, that's 7 million. So there are 19 million market cap. I don't understand. Why are they on such a low PE? It's obviously something I'm not seeing here. And this is why I don't understand small banks. So cash and equivalents, but it's hard to say what's clients' cash and what's their cash, of 18.65 million and 17.26. So I've looked at equity, total equity, they say, of 36.7 million versus 32, but yet there are a 19 million market cap. So you think, this is way undervalued. But I've looked at this before, and I don't get it. I really don't understand. And there's lots, like I said, lots of businesses within this business. So it's quite complex. Anyway, in the outlook, they do say, whilst we do not know the exact content of the UK Chancellor's autumn budget statement on the 30th of October, I do believe the ground has been adequately prepared to ensure the UK public are not surprised by the scale and breadth of the increase in tax burden the country is being asked to accept. This can only lead to a deferment of investment and expenditure as people and businesses alike will prudently take stock of their financial position. Whilst Bank of England interest rate reductions will provide some level of stimulus, the overall position will be less positive than that experienced in the first half of the year. And we expect that will be reflected in our full year financial performance. So I'm assuming, I don't know how they get from that. Why do they say that? Is that because the net interest income will come down because interest rates are coming down? I don't know. But anyway, because of that, they're down 5.6% to 15.1 pence. It's prone to some big spikes, this company. Anyway, if I don't understand something like Buffett, you know, I'm not like Buffett, but I mean, yeah, I just think if you don't understand something, stay away. That's why I stay away. Next, the Mission Group, and they've got Mission in capitals. TMG is ticker. Creator of Work That Counts, TM, trademark, comprising of a group of digital marketing and communications agencies, is pleased to announce their interim results for the 6 months ended 30th of June. They've got a market cap of 20 million. These accounts, I found, well, I thought they were a mess, absolute mess. There's discounted operations, so they give, you know, all different kinds of figures, like underlying, headline, reported figures. It's just confusing in the end. So what I got from it was revenue was 42.2 million, up from 41.4, up a smidge. Reported profit for tax, zero. They got 0.0 million a year versus 600 grand last year. Net bank debt of 19.6 million versus 19.7 million as of the 31st of December. So they don't seem to be moving forward. In fact, their loss has gone up and their bank debt is similar. And yet the revenue's gone up. So, you know, suggests margins aren't improving, are they, in some way? But who knows what's going on there? There's lots going on. They've got discontinued operation. A bit of a messy read, that was. Next, MySelex Technologies, MYX is ticker there. In fact, let's see where the Mission Group are. TMG, they're down 3.73% to 21.6. I think that was the company Brave Bison went to put an offer in, and TMG turned it down. I think, really? Why would you do that? Anyway, next. MySelects, MYX is ticker there. I'm just checking that's right. MYX, that's right. It is MYX. And Clean Water and Clean Air Technology Company established to transform the environmental impact of industry. It's pleased to announce this results 30th of June. They've got a market cap of $9 million, revenue $3.5 million versus $5.5 million. Again, these have discontinued. They just sold part of the business, I think. But loss before income tax of $1.29 million versus $1.31 million, cash and equivalents, unrestricted cash in a period of $2.12 million versus $1.4 million. So cash has gone up, losses pretty much the same, revenue gone down, and they say the sale of Saudi Arabia business operations for a total consideration of $3.125 million at closing, with up to $4 million deferred on two-year earnout structure, allowing company to focus resources on two core growth markets. Well, let's hope they are growth markets. Nahl is next. NAH, a leading marketing and services business focused on the UK consumer legal market. In brackets, ambulance chasers. Announces the results for 6 months to 30th June. Market cap, $28 million. Revenue of $19.39 million versus $20.95 million. So down a smidge. Profit for tax, $501K. That's close to half a million, just over half a million, actually. I'd say close. It's 10 grand over. So 501K versus a loss last year of 43K. Net debt was 9 million versus 9.7 as of 30th of December. So it's down a little bit there. Let's look at the how these are doing. MySelects, by the way, is down 1.39%. Nahl is up 10.43 million. Wow. I didn't look at the outlook statement, but I don't see why that's... I suppose there's a little bit of improvement in profit there, but they've still got net debt. So, well, I don't even warrant that kind of rise. Okay, next. There's quite a lot out today. Personal Group Holdings. Ticker there's PGH. So they are the workforce benefits and health insurance provider. Is pleased to announce its audit result, 30th of June. Market cap, 50 million. Revenue, 21 million versus 18.4, so 6 months, you know. Profit for tax of 2.25 versus 1.97, and cash of 20.7 million versus 17.4. They are the first company, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, that have improved on every one of those metrics. Recurring revenue now 81% of total, up from 76% in H1. So even their recurring revenue has gone up. Let's have a look at the share prices going. Up 5.3%. It's not very well known, that company, you know? Maybe it's worth doing a bit of research. Personal Group Holdings, PGH is ticker. What's next? Striptinning, STG, a leading supplier of specialist connection systems to the automotive sector. Please announce its half one results to 30th of June. They've got a market cap, 6.5 million, revenue of 4.78 million versus 5.64, so it's gone down. Loss before tax of 2.72 million versus 798K. So that's it's revenue down. Loss has widened, grown. Cash of 2 million versus 343K. Apparently, they completed a 5.1 million fundraise in January 2024, and they're now down to 2 million. So there we are. How are they doing share price wise? Strip Tinnings up 7.25%. Don't make any sense, does it, really? Anything else? I think that is it. That's it. Let's look at the markets quickly. I say quickly. There we are, done it. UK FTSE 100. FTSE 100 is up 0.28% to 8282. FTSE 250. Down 0.1% to 20,821. I do feel we are basically in this holding pattern. You know, most of the indices. FTSE small cap down again 0.1%, 6898, and the AIM All share. The AIM All share has been in the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, in the last 13 trading days, it's been down 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But it's going, you know, it's not big drops. Anyway, it's down a tenth of 1% to 743. Let's have a look at commodities. Brent crude rallying a bit, 2.46% a day to $75.69 a barrel. And that's because of China. Of course, China's stimulus, hoping to stimulate a bit of growth and demand there. What else? Gold up again. 2,655. What is wrong with people? I see, I'm watching Ramsden's share price, right? And it goes up and someone sells into it. Why are you selling for? I own Ramsden's. I'm very biased, okay? So ignore this. But do you understand that gold is playing very positively for them? And they've got three other sections of the business that also doing well. But that's the reason why they're reporting, at least, they said a few weeks back, £11 million profit before tax. At least. Now, since that statement, gold has continued to rise. So it is going to be at least £11 million profit before tax. And yet you've got this, a couple of little sellers selling into it. They do some research. It's like a PE of 8 or 7 or something ridiculous. And they're growing. They're rolling out 10 stores a year. And organically within the stores, they're growing. And they've launched a website dedicated to, you know, FX currency exchange, gold, you know, jewellery, pawnbroking, all that, which is helping. It's so frustrating watching that. I guarantee in a few months' time, it'll be an all-time high. I don't guarantee, actually. Okay, take that back. Anyway, that's gold. I don't talk about gold, I get onto that. But that's not all they have going. So even if gold comes down, it doesn't matter. Because, you know, it's the margin they get on that. So, but it does help because people tend to come at the shop and sell their gold, you know. But wherever happens to gold, they still make a profit on it. But it increases interest in people coming in, getting rid of their gold. Because there's adverts on telly everywhere saying, sell your gold. It's almost like other people doing marketing for them. Copper. Again, it's bounced up 2.5%. This is, again, down to China, because China, you know, gobbles up half of the world's copper pretty much when it's hungry. When it's not hungry, it doesn't like it too much. Anything else? That's it. Thank you much for listening. By all means, head over to sharepickers.com/tips. Just by signing up to this list means you qualify for 20% off the Sharepickers Investment Club. Members' benefits include early access to share tips, access to live weekly webinars where multiple stock ideas are analysed and discussed, access to the Microcap League where profitable microcap companies are analysed, colour-coded and scored, then ranked on 20 different metrics. A free copy of my book, How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, ahead of official publishing in December. Access to View My Holdings, which I update after any new transaction, access to educational videos on fundamental and technical analysis, plus portfolio management. Access to the chat group, sharepickers.com/tips. In fact, I'm going to start giving away free copies of my book just by signing up that list. Okay? Please do your own research. I'm very biased on all the companies I hold because they're great.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. Building wealth through investing. For more information, visit sharepickers.com. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.